She was a Swedish person in the war. She was really open. She wasn't dreaming. You know, she was a dream. She was lovely and she was so pure. You know, you naive, pure, like heaven.
Ohayou gozaimasu, konnichiwa, konbanwa, for whenever you're listening to the Joshi Pod, your weekly podcast about the world of Japanese women's wrestling. Joshi Wrestling, I'm your host, Eric Howard, coming to you from beautiful San Diego, California. And guys, thank you so much for downloading last week's episode with Ron Funches and JPQ. And the earlier this week, the episode we had with Ara Hasnain. So we had a few good episodes here in the last week. I'm real proud of them. Real proud of what we've done recently with all the Joshi talent we've had on the podcast and mixing it up last week with Ron Funches. This week, we have Faith Hayden from Spain, who has toured Japan with Marvelous. She lived at the dojo for a while, and she's also a regular on the in the European scene. And when the Joshi wrestlers come to Spain for tours and the Japan weekends they do every year, she is one of the people that hangs out with some of the wrestlers. So it's a real interesting conversation. It's a long conversation. I can't thank her enough for the time she spent chatting with me. And we get into some deep stuff. You know, we talk about Hana Kimura. She's got to spend some time with Hana in Japan and in Spain. And it's a little bit, it goes deep. I'll just say that. It goes a bit deep. And it's she's still struggling with what happened to Hana, and like the rest of us are. But she was a bit closer to Hana than most of us were. And yeah, so she's still dealing with that. She also has some fun stories about training in Japan and drinking with some of the Joshi wrestlers out on the town for her birthday. And it's a real fun conversation. Learn a lot about her. Faith Hayden, if you don't know her, Google her, get to know her, listen to her today on the podcast. And we're going to keep this intro pretty short because the interview is so long. So, guys, again, thank you so much for downloading, listening. Please follow me at the Joshi Pod on Twitter. You can follow me at Eric San Diego as well on Twitter. I love interacting with you guys. I love messaging you guys and having some fun with you guys on Twitter. It should be fun. This is wrestling. This is not real life. This is not some of the tough things we're going through in the world right now. This should be fun. I poke fun at certain things on Twitter every once in a while. I like to poke fun at Julia and the like, but it's all in fun. It's never serious. It's never personal. It's never there's a line between being negative and being fun and having fun, and I'm hoping I'm staying on the line of having fun. So, guys, yeah, again, please follow me at the Joshi Pod. Let's have some fun. Let's enjoy what we love here. It's tournament season right now, so it's a whole lot of fun in Joshi wrestling. And Choco Pro's going wild again, and Ice Ribbon had their fun summer show where they shoot water guns at each other, and I've got to go to one of those one time. I love when wrestlers change trade gear too and stuff. Seeing Ram Kaicho on a Kane Fujita's clothes is it's just awesome. I really, really got to go to this one of those shows one of these years. Okay, rambled enough, guys. Again, enjoy the interview with Faith Hayden. We'll see you next week. I got a real fun interview coming up this weekend with somebody from Max Voltage. I don't want to jinx it until it happens, but looking really forward to it. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Arigato gozaimasu. Hey guys, back here at the Joshi Pod. Super excited to have on the show Faith Hayden, my first guest from Spain. She's marvelous. Hey Faith, thank you so much for joining the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me. You know, it's the first time I do some kind of podcast. This is my first appearance, my first my first time as a invitee. Muchas gracias.
De nada. So Spain Spanish is a little bit different than Mexican Spanish. I'm from San Diego, California, so it's a little bit different. The pronunciations are a little bit different, and but yeah, yo entiendo un poco.
Me encanta que entiendas un poco. Nuestro acento y forma de hablar es muy distinta a la de México.
Yes, yeah. You guys do the different conjugations of the verbs are a little bit different. Yes.
Yes, we use like an old-fashioned, you know, pronunciation of like a bunch of people. For example, we speak like vosotros, ustedes, uh-huh. And in Mexico it's like only ustedes.
Yeah,
no vosotros. Exactly.
Yeah, I learned a little bit of that when I was in school, but not a lot of that. The vosotros, yes. Well, we're not here to talk Spanish. We're here to talk wrestling.
Exactly.
So, Faith, tell me about how, were you a wrestling fan as a kid?
Yes, you know, I was a super crazy wrestling fan as a kid because when my first time I watched some kind of wrestling was with my grandfather. He was into wrestling, you know, whenever it was Mexican or Japanese wrestling, because we grew up in Chicago, and we used to always play along with him, you know, my brother and I. He was the first introducing me to this whole wrestling thing, and then my grandfather was like, "Do you like it?" And I was like, "Yes, you know, it's a sport, you know, it's people flying." And my grandfather said, "Okay, you come with me, you know, leave whatever you're doing. You are coming here right now because we're watching wrestling. Come here, mija." And I was like, yeah.
Was it Lucha Libre or was it American wrestling?
No, it was Lucha Libre.
Like
CMLL, La Lucha Central de México.
Okay, from Mexico City.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. We have a channel, you know, where we used to capture sometime old guy Japanese wrestling.
Uh-huh.
And then I think it was at night, yeah, around 8 or 9 o'clock in the night, it was Mexican wrestling, and then the WWE, obviously.
What who did you like when you were watching the Lucha Libre?
I was really fan of the Familia Aguayo. El Perro Aguayo from Mexico was my huge, like, this man can do everything. And then obviously I used to watch Minoru Suzuki from Japan, and from the US Eddie Guerrero was my super crush as I was little. And then the Hurricane Helms, I was like the superhero. Oh my god.
I'm older than you, so I got to see Chavo Guerrero, Hector and Armando, Eddie's brothers. I got to see them wrestle when I was a little boy. Yeah, they're down here in California, and my mom told me that Eddie was a little boy running around the ring too, and we used to like play wrestle sometimes. I don't remember this; I was too small, but we used to play wrestle in the ring a little bit during intermission.
Wow! No, right now I'm jealous. I'm super jealous, man. No, this is unfair.
So, what was it about the masks and all that kind of stuff? Is what got you into Lucha Libre?
No, it was more than masks. You know, when I was little, I was shameless. You know, I was super shameless. Not right now that I'm super shy, but when I was little, I was shameless. You know, I like it to make people laugh and, you know, make people like, when they were a little bit down, I used to do whatever was in my hands to make them laugh. When I was starting watching wrestling, this whole scenario and whole thing about, you know, this crazy man doing something super spectacular, you know, and every single one was like, oh yes, man, this is the thing, you know, all the emotion, the feeling, this huge experience for everyone was like wanted to be like them, you know, like I want to be the good guy, I wanted to be the bad guy. Of course, the bad guy is my thing, but but
so,
yes.
Pedro Aguayo's forehead didn't gross you out?
No, at all. You know, I really love it. Every time it's that little bit, you know, split in the head, the little blood of huge blood, it was like, more.
So it was a bonding thing with you and your grandfather to watch wrestling together.
Yeah, you know, we my grandfather and I used to watch a lot of sports. You know, he was deep into the Cubs of Chicago, you know, baseball.
Uh-huh.
And then we used to watch a lot of wrestling. He was he's Native American, so we also watched a lot of Westerns. Say no, that's wrong. No, that's wrong. No, that didn't happen that way. You know, I think these people is like romanticizing these cowboys, but mija, no, don't mimic that. Mimic this people flying, but this ones, no.
So, were you born in the U.S. or were you born in Spain?
I born in another country, but I was supposed to born like it was my, you know, my mother is from the USA, uh-huh. And I born in Peru.
Oh, okay.
And then I flew back to Chicago with 3 months, and then I grew up until I was 13, almost 14, and then I came here to Spain with my father.
Okay, so.
I'm a little bit of everything.
No, that's wonderful. I think that's wonderful. So, in Chicago, was there a large community, Spanish speaking community?
No, not that much. You know, when I was growing up, there wasn't many Spanish. You know, there was more Mexican or Cuban.
Uh-huh.
Because we are in that part. You know, next to Miami, but you know this Spanish community was a little bit small. But we have a lot of Native Americans, you know, from a little bit of everywhere. Like our skin were like a little bit darker, not that too much to be black or not much to be Mexican, but you know, in the middle. So we used to mix with them. So I learned Spanish that fast because I used to play along with the color kids more than the whites because they. Always used to mess like, oh no, you're not white, you're not black, what the fuck are you? It's like, okay, but I think, nice to meet you, buddy, yeah, I'm not gonna play with you never more, asshole.
So how old were you started learning English?
It was easy because in the USA, I always speak in English, but in my house and whenever I used to come here to Spain, you know, vacation, I always speak in Spanish. So I was growing with both. That's why I'm bilingual.
That's good. Yeah, that's wonderful. And so you're a fan in Chicago. You what age do you move to Spain?
I was 13, almost 14. You know, it was a big no-no experience, but... You know, it was something I had to do because my parents had this huge divorce, so he won't.
No, it's real life. It's what happens, right?
Yeah, you know, it sucks.
So what was your life got kind of just changed instantly. What's life like in Spain for you when you were 12, 13 years old?
It was really awkward because I had this funny accent because I also used to mix my English with my Spanish. Kids here were super mean, you know. It's, you know, when you meet bullies and so, you experience all this thing here in Spain. Like, you know, you used to be, you know, with the people, with the kids, with the mean kids in the U.S., you know, Chicago, you know, you used to handle. But here are totally different because they are more even assholes. So you never had the chance to like to come back. So I, you know, from this whole extrovert personality to become this shy, awkward, odd little thing.
Because you got bullied by kids, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's how kids are, right?
Yeah, you know, I used to believe like people could be better here. You know, you speak Spanish, yeah, you are half Spanish and so. But you know, whatever. It's up to them. You know, you don't make the rules. People and their parents do this thing. But then it's what happens. You know, it's life.
Yeah. So, how did you adjust to life in Spain? I mean, things you did outside of Spain before you got there, were you able still to enjoy some of those things? Were you able still to enjoy wrestling or certain TV shows or things like that? Or just, you know, your lifestyle changed besides, you know, just the people you're with?
It changed a freaking lot because here in Spain, they didn't have any, you know, not at all. not a single, you know, sport channel to watch a sport like I used to do in back in the USA. So I had to adjust to every single TV show because even, you know, I never watched a TV show in Spanish. I was watching in English. So here they didn't have this to change this language. So TV shows, movies, no sport channels, only football. It was like, you know, there's a lot huge dimension of sports besides football. You know, here in Spain, it's football craziness. But then some weekends, you know, really late or really, really early, like 7 a.m., you know, they had these old recordings of pro wrestling. I was like, holy shit, I have to work even early, but whatever, I want to watch it, you know. I was like, yes, please, this. And then when the internet started to come better, you know, I was like, okay, YouTube, give me the good stuff. Okay, give me more.
Was it WWE that was on early in the morning, or?
Yeah, only WWE, you know. Here in Spain, people doesn't know, you know. Lately, yes, of course, you know, from the back a couple of years, but only people knows what is WWE. You know, even though they don't know WWE, you know, only the freaky guys, you know, they know what is WWE, you know, but it's not that huge here. You know, it's starting to come over, but slowly the process, and so it's tiresome.
So at what age, so you finished school, and what age do you think about becoming a wrestler?
I wanted to be a wrestler. You know, the thing is, like, here in Spain, I never thought it would be possible. You know, here everything was against to do this, you know, the art spectrum of, you know, scenic and so. It's very classist, you know. It's if you watch anything in, you know, movies or TV shows or whatever in the Spanish scene about characters and people, you know, only you see a Spanish one. You know, you never see a, you know, a black guy or Latino guy or you know, an Indian guy working for them. You know, it's always Spanish. Mm-hmm. So like I never could think like I was able to do pro wrestling in Spain. So I, you know, I started with MMA. I was going to a dojo to practice every single you know, discipline in MMA. So mm-hmm. I become better in MMA. So it was like my dream to become a pro wrestler, like, was you know, always a dream. You know, it was like never possible.
So when you're training MMA, are you thinking about possibly fighting professionally?
Yes. That was the point, you know. I wanted to become better. I wanted to go tough. I wanted to go like one of these Spanish representation of MMA female, you know. Mm-hmm. And then like I was stupid. I was really stupid because besides MMA, I used to go to play airsoft. I don't know if you know or you know. Have you ever heard about airsoft?
The little white pellets. The little.
Exactly. Yes. That, yeah. You know that the ones that the smash with your body and you know give more more damage than paintball. Yeah, that one. You know, but this you can feel like I like a little bit of rough. But yes, you know, I was this super crazy stupid person that you know, I met 4 or 5 guys that used to play this airsoft thing. We went to play after 2 years of training, you know, hard training, like every single day, you know, busting my body and my mind to play, to go to MMA. But one weekend playing airsoft, and I busted my knee.
Of course.
You know, I busted my knee from a platform, you know, I didn't, we were playing like house to house in assault. You know, I was to go with 2 guys and he was going with another 2 guys. And, you know, and this guy, the referee, you know, he was about to throw the flag to, you know, to start all the thing. And my versus, you know, started to shoot at me. And I run like a thunder to inside the house. But behind a wall, you know, a huge hole in a wall, I didn't saw, you know, because we never checked the surroundings. So I run into, I step in a border, and I didn't saw the platform down. So I went like almost a meter, you know, falling. Yeah, my knee busted out against a fucking rocks, and I tore my ligament, and it was really painful, really really painful. I had like the size of my head, in my knee. You know, it was swollen, horrible, big, horrible. Yeah. Yes. And so then I stopped.
That put your training on hold then.
Yes, during the year and a half, you know, until I was able to fix my knee.
Mm.
And I never, you know, it never went to back to normal. You know, sometimes with this, you know, like a little, like an old lady is like, no, child, my knee hurts. My knee's all, and this weather is going to say, oh, no, it's going to rain. And you're like, what? Oh, shit, it's right.
Yeah, you're the rain predictor now because you know when it's going to rain.
Exactly. You know, when the atmosphere is going to change, like, the winter is coming.
So about what year is that?
4 years ago, you know, 4 years ago. It was a nightmare. But, you know, this whole thing about becoming a wrestler in Spain, it started 3 years ago when I was in some kind of con here in Spain. You know, we don't have Comic-Con or, you know, big convention about comics or so, but we have these small ones. And there was a Game Fest where some promotion here in Spain, I'm not going to say names because I don't want to promote the people, nevermore. So these people, you know, they had a free, you know, there's a word free, always free, you know. You know, they had we have this show, you can come here, you know, you can watch it, but you're doing wrestling, man. And they were, yes, you know, you can come to this, to our school of wrestling, we can teach you, here's the, how much is the price per month, you know, we can teach you the basics, you know, you can come, you can become a part of our group, you know. It was like, oh, yes, please. And you know,
so this, you're reading it, or you're seeing this, and it's like, oh, this is your dream come true. You know, you can go watch. Yeah.
You know, it was crazy because, and I, you know, I went to this free show. I was really into that. Oh my god, I can do this. Oh my god, they're doing this here. You know, I can become a wrestler. You know, I was like freaking out and super excited. And when they say the show happened in a Sunday, so I was like, okay, when do you have this another training or so? Please tell me something. You know, I want to really go there. And it was like, okay, tomorrow Monday we have this training here. If you like it, you can try it, and if you like it, you can become part of the roster. And I was like, yes, please, right now. I can't even pay you right here. You know, I have the money. You know, if you want me, what can I do? You know, I can train right now. And it was like, no, come tomorrow. If you like it, you can stay. You know, you can. So many people say the same, but the girls doesn't like it much. I'm not like other girls. You know, I really like this. This is my dream. And they were like, okay, yeah, blah, blah. It was traumatic.
So when you first stepped in the ring for training, what was it like? Was it what you expected, or was it a little bit different?
It was a little bit different because they don't have in training this full size ring. They have a little one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I expected to feel much, how's the, doloroso, hurtful, you know. I thought it was going to be more hurtful or, you know, dangerous or so. But it was super soft, super easy, super, you know, I really like it because everybody in the, The guys that were already training is like, oh no, my first training was leaving me with really sore neck, back, no, my muscle. And I was like, you never have done any training preparation before? And, you know, and they were like, no, we went here because it's fun, we love it. But, and I was like, but you have to prepare your body. Yeah, but, and I was like, oh, okay. And the thing is like, yeah, but you're not feeling any pain in your body. I was, no, yeah, this is soft for me. And they look at me like, you're weird though.
So bumping never, when you first started learning to bump, you never felt the pain?
No, because in MMA, when they throw you against this mat, you know, we have a really thin mat. So, you know, when they make you learn all the force, all the grappling and, you know, mm-hmm. all the bumps you have to do, you know, to learn how to fall and how to protect yourself, you go already with some preparation. You know, you never forget what you learned before in a real contact.
What about running the ropes?
Oh yeah, that was the funny because the ropes are like this super thing or a little bit hard. Okay, a little bit hard wire. You know, mm-hmm. And it has around you know this cord or maybe have these protections. And I have the bad manner of run with my two legs. You know, I start maybe with this with my right leg, but I then can continue with the left one. And my trainees were nuts, even Mio Momono. She was like, "No, go with your right." And I was like, "But I don't know. I don't know when I change it." And you know, "No, go with this." And I was like, "I'm really sorry." And she was like, "Right, left, but not two." And I was like, "Okay, I have to think now how to run correctly because I am super stupid."
So your break from MMA to wrestling, did you miss being physical? Did you miss being athletic?
Actually, I do. You know, right now, after this pandemic, I am going again with my, I'm going again with the preparation I had for MMA, okay, because I want this tight body, you know, I look good for the people, but more even to look good for myself, you know, I don't want to be like this soft person, but I want to be like this super tight muscle one. So, in wrestling, they don't worry too much about the first years, you know, they don't care about how you train physically, only they teach you how to drills, run to ropes, the moves and so. So after this pandemic, and I am waiting to open the orders to go back to Portugal or to Germany to go to training there, because I'm not training anymore in Spain because of so many reasons I have to block.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm going every single day. You know, if you have ever checked my Instagram, mm-hmm. You can see me every single day in the gym, you know, posting something stupid and, you know, whining because people doesn't respect other people's boundaries. You know, pick your freaking weights, please.
So how long did you train in Spain before you had your first match?
For a year and a half. You know, that didn't was even my first match to say it at least, because it was in a rumble. You know, in the beginning I had my spotlight. It was like to be like the first female trainee in this brand, this promotion, to be like the longest, like standing for 3 minutes. But this previous day before the show, they decided to change it to only give me 10 seconds. So
welcome to wrestling, right?
Yes, you know, promote this guy and do whatever this guy, because this guy is who has the name, but F you, girl, you doesn't mean anything here. And I was, that's the spirit. I was super mad, to be honest, but, you know, I had to woman up. And then 4 months later, I had my official match in a Mexican fest. You know, it was super awesome because everybody really bought my gimmick, because I speak well in English, and I was the freaking mean insulting girl from the USA, like only was speeding, you know, arguing with people like in the way to the ring, and this other chick was making the face and was the heel. You know, I was like, "Boo, we don't like you." And I was like, "I don't like you either." "Come at me, match me after I beat her." And it was like, "Come at me, bro, but first buy me a beer." I will there.
So was this the little girl coming back out? Because you said you were fearless when you were little. You were shy when you got older. Was wrestling your way of becoming the little girl again, where you were fearless again?
Yes, you know, when I become a professor, you know, in my personal life, I'm really quiet and shy until I feel a little connection with somebody and I talk a lot. I'm a super geeky, you know. Right now, if I show you my room where I'm right now, you can see all my PS4, my PS3, my Nintendo Switch, all the games, and my Funko figures. So, yeah, I'm super geek. but the thing is, like, you know, when I start to be in a wrestling scene or, you know, a wrestling venue, you know, I become this open people that I always wanted to be, you know, out there. I used it to be like this, but, you know, when I'm not into wrestling, I am this bitch wrestling face.
Wrestling bitch face?
Yes. That's my face all the time. So when I take my glasses off, it's like, oh, shit, she's looking right at me. And I was like, no, I'm really not, because you're a blur.
I can't see you.
I can see you. You know, it's like, okay, this blur, but behind is a tree. Oh, the tree is there. Oh, it's really long tree. Yeah. Yeah, you know, buddy, I'm not looking at you. I'm looking behind you.
So how long were you wrestling before you, like, really got comfortable being a wrestler?
3 months, you know, after being trainer, trainee, and then become, you know, this 10-second debut, then my full match and so. You know, it only lasted 3 months to start to this feeling comfortable to having matches against everybody. But, you know, it only lasted really little, because my hype and my feelings towards this thing I love so much make me better. You know, it's like my emotions and my feelings in, you know, inside out. Mm-hmm. You know, work from inside to out, it was like really happy. You know, I am happy whenever I do wrestling. You know, when I do something related to wrestling, I am happy. You know, I feel this joy, this pure feeling of you know, sparkle of excitement. When I'm, you know, being myself, I was like, okay, give me a game that I don't want to hear from anybody.
So were there a lot of matches? I mean, did you have a lot of shows in Spain?
No, that's the thing. You know, whenever you are not the friend of this person, or you are not the girlfriend of this person, here in Spain, you don't have many matches. Mm. You know, later on, I will give you a little feedback of things. The top secret one of Spain.
But so were you only wrestling in Spain at that point? Were you branching? Because people, I don't know if people in America understand about how Europe is, where you can get to a lot of places in Europe pretty quickly. It's, you know, it's not like California to Chicago is so far away. You know, you can get to Germany not too long. You can get to other places not too long. Were you just basically staying in Spain and wrestling at that point?
No, you know, to fulfill my dream to become a pro wrestler, you know, I had to move off of Spain. You know, when I was, you know, I was sure that I never could do this my full job, because pro wrestling for me is a job. It's not a hobby, that so many people here in Spain think this is a hobby. For me, it's not, you know, this is my job. Right now it's super dry, but I'm still believing it's going to become better. But yes, you know, from being here in Spain and seeing no opportunities, no promotions, no payment, no people like is going to love you like in other places, I started to training, you know, to go to training to Germany, to meet these people from Portugal, you know, to try to go to Italy to some promotion, you know, to go to training in England. You know, open my bookings to these people, you know, even for little do they know me. So I had to move myself to much places. So it's not like going from California to, let's say, New York, okay? Mm. It's not the same, but, you know, you waste a lot of money, like booking your trainings, your hotel, you know, every single place, because it's not like sleep in your car for going to training somewhere. Also, you don't know the people in wrestling. So, because so many people think that, oh no, this is a fan that I'd like you to connect with me. It's like, no, I'm a pro wrestler from this place. So, you know, it's not like I'm a stupid person like, oh yes, I'm gonna kiss your ass to make me, let me crush you in your couch. It's like, no, man, I am serious, you know, I'm not fooling around.
You know? It's so like, you talked about some negative experiences. You mentioned some negative experiences. Who are some of the positive people that you met during this, your early career? Who are some of the people that helped you along that you appreciated?
I really appreciate it. For example, if you're checking in this Spanish scene, you know, you're going to find a pro wrestler called Junke, who was my teacher during 6 months. And then Edu Barulo, who was also my teacher. And those two were the two ones that taught me really, really well. And from the two, I learned really much about wrestling here in Spain. These guys were wonderful and fantastic, you know, even Junke without lying, okay? One show, the ring, I don't know how it broke some part of the under the ring, okay? Mm-hmm. And Junke was like, okay, I'm not gonna go down to check in everything, so you, he pointed to a friend, and then I was like, what am I gonna do? I'm gonna lift the ring. He said, I'm gonna lift the ring. I was like, what? I go, yeah. Junke, these two people have to go off of the ring. No, it's okay. And this man, okay, put his hands under the ring. He lifted the ring with these two people over the ring. And he was like, okay, buddy, check what is broken. It was like, oh, he's God. You know, from these two people, you know, I love it. They seem more because those two weren't, they're not toxic people, you know, they were really cool.
That's
but
good.
Then, yeah, but then I met this guy of the promotion RCW, RCW, who's it's a little promotion here in Spain. That was those shows in the Japan Weekend and some fest that he's the one giving me, you know, matches here in Spain, that he trusts in my work. So that's why I'm grateful to these people.
What's his name?
RCW. You mean his name of person or the...
The person, the, yeah.
Carlos Gasco.
Okay.
Carlos Gasco. He's a, you know, you have an inside joke between Sam Danko and I that he's the son of the owner, because we always joke about es el hijo del dueño.
So at what point, you know, you're wrestling in Europe, at what point does Japan even become an option for you?
You know, Japan was an option for me always, you know. It's like Japan was the holy grail of everything in wrestling, you know. My dream is like Mexico and Japan, you know, Mexico because so many reasons, obviously. But Japan was the real dream, you know. Right now, it's like 8 months from now, okay, when these people of Marvelous contacted with me, you know, I was a nobody, you know, I am still a nobody, you know, I'm not like any Yoshi or any female pro wrestler, you know, having this huge experience, our name in the scene with fans and so. But these people contacted to me, and I was like, wait, who's these people? Wait, what? Wait. This is the dojo of... I promise you, I was in my computer, okay, clicking, tick, 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 Nagayo Chigusa. And believe me, I was like... I remember my dog got really scared because she came running like, okay, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm fine. But this is... And I was like, okay, this is the dojo of Nagayo Chigusa, Nagayo-san. Okay, they want me to wrestle in there. Oh my God.
How do you think they found you?
I don't know. I think they were doing this scouting in Europe. You know, and they thought like, okay, this they're here in Spain, there are two female pro wrestlers. Okay, first we're having this, and we are gonna give you the chance to the other. Okay, the first one is a disaster. And the second one, this chick, let's try her. Okay, this people is really good. You know, they have this bad experience with this girl, but with me, they have the other side of the coin, and they fall in love with me really quickly, and I was super grateful, and I'm still grateful because these people is my family. You know, I was super scared, like being disrespectful or, you know, doing something that could offend them, but how I am like a person and so, they really respect me and love me. And they, Naraya-san decided to call me like, you are one of my daughters, and, you know, you're part of this family. I take care of my family. And I promise you, I cried. I really cried. You know, I really cried like a little kid. Like I wanted to hurt, you know, the last day I saw her, you know, she gave me this big hug. We took a picture, you know, she told me to come back really soon. Mm-hmm. And I cried like for 2 hours. So in the airport, I was still crying. Rin-san, tell me, are you okay? And I was, no, I don't want to go.
So, I think that's amazing. Yeah, and that's a pretty legendary people to reach out to you to come over. So being the quote-unquote geek that you are, the idea of going to Japan, not only as a wrestler, but as a geek, how excited were you for that?
Holy shit, that's a question. I can tell you for sure that when we weren't working like in this little bar they have, or, you know, working the house or working in trainings or working, you know, aside, you know, for like Marvelous is a huge company. They work in many things, and that's how they provide their, you know, the wrestlers and so, besides being this picture of super professional justice that they are. Holy shit, that's a question. I can tell you for sure that when we weren't working like in this little bar they have, or, you know, working the house or working in trainings or working, you know, aside, you know, for like Marvelous is a huge company. They work in many things, and that's how they provide their, you know, the wrestlers and so, besides being this picture of super professional justice that they are. Holy shit, that's a question. I can tell you for sure that when we weren't working like in this little bar they have, or, you know, working the house or working in trainings or working, you know, aside, you know, for like Marvelous is a huge company. They work in many things, and that's how they provide their, you know, the wrestlers and so, besides being this picture of super professional justice that they are. Holy shit, that's a question. I can tell you for sure that when we weren't working like in this little bar they have, or, you know, working the house or working in trainings or working, you know, aside, you know, for like Marvelous is a huge company. They work in many things, and that's how they provide their, you know, the wrestlers and so, besides being this picture of super professional justice that they are. You know, when they say, okay, we don't have to do anything today, do you want to do something? Like, okay, where is going Faith? And I was like, I'm going to the Titan Station. What? Titan Station? What? The video games. I could spend from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. playing this Dash Rush, like DDR, you know, that, like this is an improved version of Dance Dance Revolution.
Yeah.
There's a huge one new that is like dancing. Actually, you have this platform where you dance in real life. You don't have to follow these crosses or, you know, these arrows. You dance, like you dance, and it was amazing. Or this one, I'm playing tunings. It was like all the day.
It's a good cardio for you.
Yes, you know, it's like I'm doing a little cardio here. We have to do 4 kilometers every single day. You know, we have to do this hard cardio, but I need some indoor cardio. So, so it's like, let's play.
When you arrived in Japan, I like to ask these kind of questions. Who greeted you at the airport?
You know, I want to show you. I want to show you because it's something that is in my heart. But, you know, later on, I will send you a picture. Okay. It was May Hoshiki. Uh-huh. I don't know if you know her, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
She had this huge, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful poster saying, "Welcome to Marvelous." And she had written my name in. It was bad writing, but she had my name on it. And I was like, "Oh my God, cosita mía, ¿qué estás haciendo aquí? ¿Ven que te abrazo?" And she was like, "What?" And you know, but I had to be really respectful because I don't know the limit to the boundaries, you know. But you know, when you feel, at least me, okay, when I feel like really touched, I really feel like I have to give you a big hug, okay? And she was like, tuk-tuk-tuk. I had to hold myself. And he was like, oh my God, I can I keep it? And she said, hey, hey. And I was like, okay, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to take it to Spain. I'm going to put it in my bedroom. You know, it's, everything from here is going to be in my bedroom forever and ever. Even if I could, you know, even putting that tattoo on my skin, I will go there. But no, man, that's just too much.
So when did you arrive in Japan?
I arrived in October, then 27 in October.
Did you go straight to the house, the dojo?
Yes, it was like you know, the pickup in the airport. Then we went in train. You know, it was super funny because I never have taken the train in Japan. You know, it was my first time in Japan, so uh-huh. They took me in the train, and it was like I was like a stupid girl, like, oh, look at the houses, look at the animals, how green is this, look at this. Another person. I was really excited.
That's what we all do when we get there. We just like, when we first get on the train, we just like looking around and seeing everything, how cool everything is.
Yes, really technological.
Yeah.
And, you know, we went right to the house, and I was like, you know, I never been in a Japanese house. So the first time they opened the door, I leave the luggage in the door. So I was about to step, and they said, no. And I was, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. I had to take my shoes off. And I was like, okay, remember, I have to take my shoes off.
That's what I learned. When I go to Japan, I always wear my Vans so I can take my shoes off really easy.
Yeah, man, I had these Nikes that are really, really tight, you know, to work on football. And I was like, I hate cars right now. Oh, yeah. Shit, it's too much now, man. What? Why you have to do this?
Were all the dogs there when you first got there?
Oh no, they had me like 4 hours separated from the dogs because they told me the only Amisa was the only girl who speak English like fluent, and she was like, oh no, be careful because the dogs get really loud. And really excited. I was like, I love dogs, I don't mind. Yeah, but don't be, and they told me, don't be really excited. Why? I love dogs, you know, I don't mind if it's 1, 2, 20, 14, I love dogs, I can handle them. And they were like, yeah, wait, better rest in the room. You know, they always like pushing me to go to sleep, to go to rest. And I had this insomnia thing that I never sleep. So for hours, you see me like, holy shit, I'm bored. What do I do? And I hear the girls go into the living room. I like, all the dogs were barking. And I was like, I want to meet the dogs. And I said, and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to go. And I opened the door. I closed super fast. The 13 dogs go around me. One tried, I said, no, one bites. And this dog never bite me. And I was like, oh my God, you're the cutest thing. And it's Poochan. And she was super tiny, this little white cloud, super, super tiny. And she was so excited to meet me. And I was like, Errol, did I mind this dog, come here, come there. And now this is your turn, now's the other turn. Okay, now I have two dogs in over me. Okay, I'm happy.
were you assigned dogs to take care of?
Yes, Haruma, the big one, the Akita one. He's we call him the gentle giant because he's Akita, okay? He's an Akita Inu. She was like, I woof only if it's necessary, but not that much. Okay, but Haruma, you're the protector. You have to protect the house. And he used to like, look up and go back to sleep. Man, you have to move. You have to be active. Okay, how old is the dog to not moving? Oh, no, he's only 6 years old and he's like this lazy. Come on, buddy, you have to move.
So you had to take him for walks and things like that?
Only if we wanted to, you know. They yeah. are really respectful to you know, every single dog has the pair of dogs or, you know, one dog or so. But they don't take the dogs to walk too much because they have their songs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm really active. You know, in Spain, I walk like 10 kilometers or 20 kilometers per day. And I was really worried. So, you know, like meeting for the first time, Japan and so. And then, you know, not going around so much because I don't know anything. And my freaking Google Maps wasn't working well. So I was like, okay, if I get lost, I really get lost. So I was like being really, really careful to go everywhere. But Haruma and I always were walking around the house or in the park, but not in the nights because, can you believe this dog so big, so huge, so this careful dog to see walking towards you, and then this dog is afraid of the night. Afraid of the night. He see a shadow walking. He was, no, man, I'm not going there. No. Okay, Haruma, let's go. It's a person. No, that's a huge shadow, no, I'm not going there. No. And I, you know, I met with, one time I met with Mikoto. She was coming to the park. I was pulled out by Haruma. And I was like, what are you doing? I was like, he's taking me home.
You have no choice. You have to go home.
Exactly.
So what did you think of training in Japan?
It's really tough, man. It's really tough. It's really, really tough. You know, in Europe, we have this hour, 2 hours, mostly of training. You know, they train you basically in drills and some bumps. But in Japan, they train you really hard, you know, to like 50 or 100 bumps in a day, you know, to get you in real shape to endure like 20 minutes or half hour in a match, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they make you really tough, you know. That's why I can do in the gym mat a bump without hurting myself. So, you know, they make you, you know, when they have this trust in you, you know, they want to teach you the Japanese style, they teach you from zero. That's what they wanted me to do. You know, I was really open to it because besides having this unconditional love for wrestling, they wanted to teach me this Japanese style, you know, the Joshi Puro Resu.
Mm-hmm.
And when they told me, we're going to teach you this, and I was like, yes, please, I'm going to give you my soul, okay? You can do whatever you want, but take me.
Who was running the training? Was it Takumi or is it somebody else?
For me, it was Mio. Mio was my sensei, you know, besides Nagayo-san. Mio was my trainer, you know, she's my sensei. I'm a senpai in this step. But when Takumi used to train you, it was more like technical.
Mm.
You know, and I really love it because this fast Joshi hardcore, it was Mio, and this technical beast was Takumi. And I was like, I can handle Takumi, but not yet you, Mio. So I'm going to give you my soul and give you my all. But Mio, you have to have really patience with me, please. And she was like, you dumb.
Mio, when you see Mio on social media, she seems like the nicest, sweetest person.
You can believe it because she's you know, in the house you have many personalities. You know, every single one has this that personality and so. But mm-hmm. You are with Mio for 2 days and you fall like really fall like you are walking in the street and you have to fall like 100 floors from the sky to the floor because Mio has already made you like I'm gonna fall you to death. She's really lovely person, you know. You fall really, really quickly and deep in love with her. She's the sweetest. She's
always smiling. I don't know if you see her like 30-second video she always puts on social media. It's always just I have no idea what she's saying, but I'm captivated by every word that comes out of her mouth because she just seems so passionate and so happy and just. I don't know. She's very likable.
Yeah, she's very likable, and she's she talks in the video. She's like that, you know. She's always like that, you know. Sometimes she can have a really bad day because I when I was raving in Japan, she was becoming from his knee. No, yes, yeah, from recovering from her knee, you know, mm-hmm. Having her re-debut in the biggest scene. And she was always this huge sparkle of joy and rainbows and flowers and beautiful, you know, you see her and you see, and you only see colors, you know, you, the happiest colors in person you see is Mio. But, you know, she was coming back and, you know, it was huge. And she had only a few bad days after she got this injury in her elbow. And it was really, really painful because, you know, I was for a month and so with her when she hurt herself in the elbow, you know, and I cried like a little bit. You know, I cried. I really cried because I was mad at the person that didn't hold her well when she, with this, she, this, this move she does to the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And this person didn't catch her well, and she landed right and busting her elbow to the floor. So I cried because she was hurt. You know, when you see her always smiling and happy, and so when she have these bad days, you only want to make her happy again. Mm-hmm. But you know, like this language barrier, you can do much. So like Mio is really into cotton candy floss. You know. She's really into that. I, you know, she told me once she liked that. So I used to go every single day to buy like 6-7 packages of cotton candy only to see her smile.
Ah, oh, that's awesome. So who were some of the? Who, that's no, that's sweet. That's such a sweet thing to do. Who were like Queen Aminata was there when you were there, and was Nyla Rose there as well?
Yes, there are the two. Aminata-san was with me, the two international guests in the dojo.
Uh-huh.
Nyla Rose came in December. I didn't want her to go. I almost locked myself in her leg, saying, "Please, don't leave. Please, Nyla, don't go." And she was, "But I have to go back to the WEW to All Elite." And I was like, "No, you don't have to leave me, please."
Was it nice having somebody to speak English with or just to communicate with?
It was really nice having Nyla because Aminata and I didn't have very much in common. So I was really reserved towards her. Uh-huh. But when Nyla came, Nyla loves Pokemon Go and loves these geeky things. He told me I was an otaku, which I am. And we had during these 3 days, you know, it was a whole dream, you know, this was the whole experience I expected to be. And that's why I didn't want Nyla to go, is what Nyla stay. Nyla, please, Nyla, don't leave me, Nyla.
Somebody told me Nyla scared the dogs.
Oh, yes. Nyla is a big person, okay? She's like a mozo, uh-huh. And she has this low voice. So when she's around the dogs run for her. You know, it's like, no, 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 she's coming back. And one of the dogs is like who was it? I don't remember which dog is the most afraid of Nyla. That when Nyla walked in, the dog was like going under something to hide. I know, I was like going after the dog, like, no, buddy, see, it's Nyla. She's okay. She loves you. And the dog was like,
So you're training, you finally have is it your first match at the Shinkiba?
Yes, in Shinkiba.
What was that like? Shinkiba is a cool place. I mean, I've been there a couple times. It's a really cool place to watch a wrestling show. What were you thinking when your first match was announced?
I was really excited, but at the same time I'm scared as freak because I always used it to do single matches. Or rarely like a tag team, okay? But I never have done ever before a three-way. So 3 versus 3. And I was like, okay, I'm Spanish, I speak English. My versus doesn't speak English, doesn't speak anything from Spanish. I have to really focus on what they're saying and what they want. Wrestling is universal, okay? They have to tell me the moves and we will adapt. And I was really, really, really freaking out. Really freaking out. But, you know, at the end it went well. And it was really cool. You know, the people really love it. And, you know, how not to love it is Tomoko-san and Kaoru-san and Leo. And there was Aminata too. And it was really, really fun.
Yeah, what's it like to go in the ring with Tomoko?
From the experience, okay. Okay, I'm touching my neck right now because it's still attached to my body. Yes, it's still. Okay, she does the hardest and really guillotine gosh lariats in the world. You know, she once did, well, one or she did two, but you know, the first hurt like hell. But she's amazing. She's amazing. You know, and training with Garu-san was really, really special because she speaks Spanish too. And it was like she speaks Mexican Spanish because when she was in the Gaia, you know, era, she went so many times to Mexico. So she learned their Spanish. So, that's yes, Tomoko-san is the toughest female I ever wrestled. You know, it's like, wow. My next here is Tomoko-san, and it's like,
So I like to ask people, who hit you with the hardest forearm when you were in Japan? Because they like to throw their forearms.
Yeah, really tough. Okay, the hardest one. When training, I turned. I don't know if Marvelous have announced. I turned. You know, like she made her her protesto in January this year. And I challenged to become one of the Marvelous wrestlers sometime in soon. But in trainings, we were teaching Aichan to do the forearms. And holy shit, she's like a freaking bone. You know, she was like, you're busting me, but I have to sell it. she's really tough, you know. I love that girl. I really love it. You know, it's like a... with the Mandalorian, okay? When Boba Fett asks, where's the child? That's my voice asking for Aichan.
So people like to hear about some of the wrestlers in Marvelous. One of the people love Maria. They love her a lot. Can you talk about Maria a little bit?
Yes, Maria. Maria is okay. I don't know if she likes to people to say that, but I'm gonna say it. She is really geeky. You know, she's really geeky. She's really geeky, and she's beside this beautiful, glamorous makeup personality and this beautiful person. You know, she's really into anime and novelas and thing. You know, it's like what is Maria? She's into fashion, yeah, but where is she? She's watching this. I go, ha! I remember many times where she was doing these night videos of people watching her on TikTok or these live videos in
Instagram Live.
Yes, Instagram Live and so. She was like, I was taking my dinner and she was making this whole makeup thing. And she was trying to hold her phone with a really, really difficult position. I was like, do you need help? And you know, but this only muted and only moving my mouth. And she was like, no, I'm fine. You know, deja vu. And I was like, okay. You know, I started to look for the Takumi's tripod. And I found it. I was like, while Maria was talking and doing things, I adjusted the tripod and hold her phone. And she was like,
so you also got to wrestle at Korakuen Hall.
Yes.
What was that experience like?
It was the dream. You know, you never expect like an international invitee, like the Joshi Pro Wrestling thing. You know, you are expected to, you know, to do some things in Yokohama, in First Ring, in many of the, you know, the small venues. But, you know, when Nagayo-san allow you to wrestle in her birthday, and next day is your birthday. So it was like she is like allowing me to do this in her birthday. Then she's giving me an early present because tomorrow is my birthday. So it was like a huge thing, you know, it was really, really perfect. And I remember, you know, the moment with Maria Mikoto and I went against Aminata, Mei, and Hibiki. And so, you know, all the people, all the feeling, all the introduction and so, it was really huge. And then the moment with Nagayo-san went in the ring, like this, like her music and so. And you're like watching this entrance to see her coming, but you don't see her. It's like her music is in. Then the music stops, and you can hear her voice singing, and this light going around in some part of the hall, and you're like chills, man, really chills. It was amazing.
So, very unique thing in Japan is being a second outside the ring when you're not wrestling, you're out there at the side of the ring, you know, helping the wrestlers, giving them water, whatever it is. What's that experience like for you to be a second while you see all these other people, the incredible people wrestling?
It was the whole experience because when you do this, you're allowed to go many other times in the ringside. You know, being the support of the wrestler in the ring. You know, when in the Sari show, when Takumi did a tag team with Mayu Watani. Spoiler alert! I really freaked out meeting her. She's super sweet. Okay. believe me, I was in the ringside being a secondo with Starlight Kid, man. With Starlight Kid. I was watching one of my favorite wrestlers in the world, and then next to me was one of my favorite wrestlers being aside with my super happy freaking best buddy. I was Hibiki. Next to me was Mei, and in the other part of the ring was Aminata, and I was like, I want to like you.
You want to pinch yourself to make sure it's real, right?
Yes, it was really dreamy because being a secondo allows you to meet a lot of joshis and pro wrestlers that you know you never think you could ever meet. You know, it's a part of this joshi pro wrestler thing because besides you learning from your dojo and watching wrestling by your own, okay, being a secondo is what gives you the perspective of what you have to do or how you have to act in a ring. You know.
Yeah,
and it gives you all the tips, all the experience, all the things like you have to do this to become better.
In that Kurikan Hall show, I mean, there were some pretty amazing people, and like Dump Matsumoto is a legend. She was on that show.
Wow. And
Asuka and Shuri and just a bunch of different amazing people on that show.
Yeah, Shuri Kondo and Dump Matsumoto. Okay, I'm going to tell you this because it's funny, and it was in the backstage. Don Matsumoto and Nagayo-san has this old relationship where they know from little, and, you know, they have the whole career, you know, being friends and so. For what I know, and for sure, and can tell you from seeing from my own eyes, that Don Matsumoto is like a kitten. You know, he's like a kitty. She likes to go behind Nagayo-san, like really, really quiet, with this super huge, funny, naughty smile on her face about to jump Nagayo-san and scare the death of her, and then laugh like, haha, I got you. She's really amazing. You know, I love her. I love them. I really love them.
I don't think people understand how popular Chigusa Nagayo is in Japan. It's amazing how just... She is so, so popular, so famous. It blows my mind because you watch these old videos of her coming out and you just hear these little girls screaming and yelling and stuff. It's just, she's at a different, like, almost like, I don't want to say Hulk Hogan in America or whatever, but she's probably more popular than that.
She's more popular than Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold Steve Austin. She's more popular than The Rock. She's more popular than any single individual from this American scene. You know, Nagayo Chigusa, my sensei, is the top one. You know, people, you know, when I was freaking out, actually I was freaking out when they told me I was going to Marvelous and so, you know, I was fan of Nagayo-san because I used to watch Gaia. Mm-hmm. And you know, when they told me like, you know, when Tommy-san and Maki-san told me like, okay, you can watch some things of Nagayo-san if you want to, you know, just ask whatever you want and we give you. And I was like, okay, thank you. But I was like, no, I have to be respectful. I have to have this background of her before before going there, you know, I have to be like really, really in my mind and on my feet to be the most respectful thing. You know, I watched one time in YouTube one concert Naeosan had. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a huge stadium, full package, you know, full package. And Naeosan was singing and people were crying. And I was like, wow, she's really making it. But to be honest, and for 100% true, when I heard Naeosan singing for the first time in a private show, you know, I was making the tables and was making, you know, the decoration and so, and Naeosan started to rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to her, I had to, you know, when the mesmerization, you know, hits you and suddenly you have to sit and watch this thing because it's really huge than anything. And I was like that, you know. I just had to hold myself to saying wow, you know, because it was really moving. She has so much powerful personality, and you know, she's something from another planet, to be honest.
She seems so intimidating too.
She is. She is, but you know, like she has, she said many times, she's Pama. You know, she has to do the work of our Papa and our Mama. So that's how she can be really funny and lousy thing like a mom, but she has to be like this intimidating, strong personality because she has to be tough and, you know, and really, you know, people have to look like she is like a really hardworking person and, you know, intimidating person because that's her work, you know. People don't have to take her for granted because she's like that, you know. She's a star, you know. She's mm-hmm. really... She's really wow.
She's somebody I would love to. I got to interview Bull Nakano, but Chigusa is somebody else I would really love to talk to sometime.
She doesn't speak English really well. You know, she knows a little bit in English, but I think if you talk to Maki-san, you can do something like a little interview and so. You know, if she has this question, you know, already writing, you know, to make a little bit of talk, you know, but... She's for sure, like, she will say yes to it.
Yeah, no, because I have interpreters that come on with me when I talk to the Japanese wrestlers. So,
awesome.
Yeah, but she's just, I'm sure she has stories to tell for days and days and days.
Yeah, you know, you will have a podcast of a month.
So, you got to spend the holidays in Japan. What was that like?
It was really respectful because I expected them to be more like you know, they have their festivities and so, but the whole decoration of Christmas and that, it was really in the center of the city, or mm-hmm. in Tokyo even, or in Kyoto too, because this huge decoration in Harajuku, and so, you know, the decorations were huge, but not like I expected, you know. It's like a more conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Not that loudy and, you know, shiny, horrible thing like we do in the UK or here in Spain. They don't waste too much.
Were you homesick at all, or were you just happy to be in Japan?
I was happy to be in Japan, you know. The only thing I missed really, really much here in Spain was my dog, you know. I have this little bit of depressive thing that, you know, the dark cloud just cover me and so, you know, like suddenly I can control it. And my dog is the one that put me in the good mood, you know. It's like the only thing that catalyzed my darkness.
I can relate. I have my little dog too.
So, I know.
what was New Year's like in Japan? Do they celebrate? Do they go crazy like in other places?
I guess because they have this obviously their own celebration and so, but we did this small show from people, okay, in the first ring in this little bar the Marvelous Dojo and Marvelous Company has, okay. Yeah. It was really, really amazing because I didn't expect that I was singing, and you know, the people were in their tables, okay. We were giving this a little show and so, and then Nagayo-san sit in this little recreation of a ring. Okay, Nagayo-san was sit there, and then we were with the count of you know, the hour. Okay, it was 10, 9, 8, blah blah blah. And you know, the real party started at that, in that point. It was like, holy shit. It was amazing, you know. I never expected, like, having a huge party like that.
People tell me that some of the Joshis like to enjoy drinks.
Oh, yes. In the Marvelous Dojo, they are kids, okay? If I can remember wrong, okay, Takumi is 26. This year is 27, okay? Rin-san is 26. Then we jump to the 21 is Mio. And then it's 19, 18, 17, and 16. You know, that's why our kids can drink. So for my birthday, I remember like Sumire Natsu.
Oh, I love her.
She's crazy. I love her. You know, her craziness matches my shyness. You know, she invited me to having drinks and a karaoke. With so many other gaging wrestlers, Soy Lucas, which I had a match with her in Spain. That's why I know her.
Uh-huh.
And that's really, really amazing because some of the guys got really wasted. And I don't know why, because in Japan, okay, or maybe because I'm used to the alcohol here in Spain, it's really strong. But in Japan, it's like what we call it here, aguachirri. It's like dissolved with water, the alcohol, so it's like not strong. But the guys were like, "America, yeah, are you okay? That's pretty amazing." And when they sing, it was really funny, really funny.
But that's part of the whole experience. That's amazing. It's amazing you got to experience those kind of things too, not just the wrestling, but the outside stuff as well.
Yeah, as you know, it was really funny because you never expect to see a really... Well, okay, I'm lying. I'm really lying because I have... In Germany, when I was in the WXW Academy, mm-hmm. okay, we had that also international guests. Leila Hirst, I don't know if you know her.
Yeah.
Okay, she was with me. She was staying for a month. I was staying for 2 weeks. Valkyrie, this professor from the UK.
Yep.
Every single day after training, she was like, "Let's go to drink," and I was like, "Oh, it's fine for me." And Mama Faye say, "Okay, kids, hold on. Gabby's with me. Faith is with me. She's not gonna drink because she doesn't drink." Yeah, but everyone else, let's go to drink. And I have seen really wasted, but. Wasted people really drunk, and I have to be like the nurse for Leila because it was the first time she was getting wasted. I was holding her hair, pulling her up after she passed out, and having a duck next to her bed to if she had the urgency to do something. And I was like, "Oh my god, I'm really sorry I make to do this to you."
That's part of growing. That's the adventure of like traveling and being an adventurer, I think, you know, to do things like that.
Yeah, you know, Ashley called it one time and she was like, in this academy, you know, in the apartment where we're staying, you know, the girls were in the part, the other guys were in the other. And Ashley and Leila were talking, okay? And she was asking her how she will sleep. And she said, "Oh no, we all sleep well." And I was like, "No, we didn't. She has snores." And Ashley said, "Yes, you're right." And she and Leila got offended and said, "I'm not snoring." And I was like, "Yes, you do."
So your last match, I think this is your last match. Was it in Osaka?
Yes, it was in Osaka. It was against, it was me and Karo-san mm-hmm. versus Tomoko-san and...
Hirota.
What?
Was it Sakura Hirota?
Ah, yeah, Sakura Hirota and Tomoko-san. When they told me I was about to rest there, Sakura Hirota, I was like, "Woo!"
I think she's amazing. I think she's not appreciated enough.
She's not appreciated at all. But you know, in her early years, she was really huge. I think they think like people stopped to appreciate her and so. Was because she became a mom, but then you know, her kids are one of the most funny and lovely kids in the world. You know, it's really amazing. And you know, I was like, I really love Sakura Hirota, and she, you know, the whole match was about me being this crazy in love fan of Sakura Hirota. So I wanted to do the moves of Sakura Hirota. Even I was like, me, please do this. She was about to elbow me, and I was like, no, Sakura Hirota, please, let's do that. And she was like, oh, so even I had to speak in Japanese, professing my love to her, and the whole venue was like, and I was like, yeah, that's the feeling. Okay, they're working it, they're buying it. So you know, she did the Fura Fura Don, and I was like, and she's heavy, you know, she doesn't look like heavy, and I was like, I can't move. It was amazing.
Were her kids there?
Yes, the kids always were with her.
I love those kids.
You know, I am not like much fan of kids, because many of the parents I have met, okay, they don't educate their kids, and they are loady, and they're like a little critters.
Don't have manners. Yes.
Yes, and Sakura Hirota's kids are the most lovely kids in the world. You know, Kino and Megu are. Like, you know, if I could have kids like them, it would be perfect, but I don't want kids, so I don't want to have them, so.
It's funny, because I've gone to shows where she was at, and the kids are just, like, running around and just, like, rolling through things, and they're enjoying, they're being little kids, right? But it's just funny to see them just enjoying themselves at wrestling shows, and just, you know, it just seems so natural for them to be there.
Yeah, you know, like, they are got super used to it. So many times before try some things in the ring, okay, before the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can see many times the kids in the ring doing bumps, doing rolls, doing some move against the ropes, then doing things like kids normally, you know, will do, and so. And the kids were like running around, like, one against each other, and the girl, I remember once, like, she got angry, I don't know why, and pushed the boy, and she was like, cover him. We were like, 1, 2, 3, the champion! And she was super blasting happy, you know, it was like super, super, super lovely.
So then it was time to go home.
Yes, it was time to go home, you know, a week after this, 2 weeks after this show. I was really sad, you know, I was really beyond sad, because I wanted to stay, but my dog, I had this crazy, crazy urgent to see my dog, you know, I can't live without her. So, so I had to come here. I was supposed to go back, and I got screwed up.
What screwed it up?
What do you think?
What screwed everything else up?
Exactly. You know, it was really, really, really fun experience, because I had to schedule my flight back, and it was really in the expected date, okay? And then more cases of the COVID started to go around in every single country, and I was, okay, Japan is still open. They don't get smashed like other countries. Japan is cool. Wait, Japan, what are you doing? Japan, please, no. And then the embassy called me and say, okay, we have to tell you that now. And I sit in the floor, staring at the emptiness, like thinking, fuck.
I got to go in March. Because it was kind of touch and go a little bit before I got to go, because people were saying, maybe you shouldn't go. But I went, because I'm like, I'm going to go. If I can go, I'm going to go. And yes. I'm glad I went, because I went for about 2 weeks in March and mm-hmm. got to experience it one more time before everything shut down.
Oh my God. You were the lucky one.
The RCW shows, the Japan weekends, right?
Yes.
You've got to participate in some of those.
Yeah, you know, I have participated in almost every single RCW shows in the Japan Weekend and this small fest, because the people that trust me, you know, I never let them down. I, you know, they were my first sources here in Spain. And, you know, whenever they meet me, I'm going to run towards her because them, because they're nice people. You know, you can work with them. You met another wrestlers. You met, you know, you used to work with people you never expect to meet. For example, RCW were the ones who gave me this this match with Zoe Lucas. And then the last Japan weekend, I had a match against Yusan.
She's awesome.
She's really awesome, you know. I was scared because, you know, the match was supposed to be in another way with another people, mm-hmm. because I was supposed to do a tag team with Mina Shirakawa. And the end, the card changed, the full change, and I had to match Yusan, you know. And I know she's tough, but at the same time, she's one of the softest, but. Holy shit! When she power bombs you, it's like I can't go back to life. Yet? No. Yes. No. Okay. Is it still in the floor? Okay.
She has I love her smile, but she'll kill you.
Yeah, you know she's. It's like, oh look, she's so small. My God, what's this? You know she's. You know when you see her, Yusan is like one of the most smileful, happy, tender. Person you can ever meet, you know, she's always this happy energy, but holy shit, when she have a match with you, she can crush you like a little fly. It's like ee!
who are some of the other Joshi talent that you got to meet at the RCW shows?
I have met my friend Hana Kimura.
I was gonna ask you about her. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really sensitive point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I met her. I
was she as sweet as everybody says she is?
She was the sweetest person in the world. She she was really open. She was she was a dreamy. You know, she was a dream. Yeah. She was lovely and. She was so pure, you know, you naive, pure, like heaven in earth. But
that's what you want to be, right? You want to be just pure, and that's what you want the world to be.
Yeah, you know, she was, you know, her presence in the world was it was supposed to, you know, she was a child for love, you know, Kyoko-san. Wanted that daughter so much and with so much love that it was that, you know, she was pure love. Hana was pure love. Mm. That's it, you know, that she was pure love.
As somebody like yourself who's been a victim of things in wrestling and in life, I mean, what did you think about hearing about what was happening to her and how it all ended?
You know, you know, I used to talk to Hana like, you know, I used to upload funny videos of giving me kisses of some time of love to my dog, you know, and my dog ignored me super much, you know. I was like standing with my upper arms to expecting to my dog to come to me and my dog walks to the side, you know, videos like that. I used to upload them to Instagram. So Hana... every single day just to laugh, to find it funny, you know, because it was what it's supposed to be, you know, it was everything funny and happy. And so I used to talk to her, like, not every day, but yeah, like one day, two not, then the other, three not, then 2 days in a row, you know, we used to have many communication. And when this whole pandemic thing started, you know, She never told me anything like that because she used to look like this stoic Japanese lifestyle, like they hold their feelings so much and what is worrying them so much. I mean, at least if you are not this super close person, but you know, I never saw like something like was like bothering her, and so to do something, and when the day come and. I didn't know what to do, you know. I was here, and if I could go back in time and do something better and try to stop her, I would try to.
Yeah.
because it's hard. You meant knowing what happened and how it happened. You know, it's not fair. It's not fair at all. No. She deserved the world. She deserved the world. She deserved happiness. She had much life to live and places to meet, to people to meet, to live at her best, you know, but it's unfair.
I felt she was going to be a worldwide star at some point, just because who she was.
Next year will be her year, you know. Next year, she was already in the top of stardom, and she was already known in Mexico. The U.S. Had her in the Madison Square Garden, you know. She was one mm-hmm. of the second stars of Josie Puroresu going in the Madison Square Garden. Nagayo-san was the first woman wrestling in the Madison Square Garden, and you can see many, many years later, no female wrestler was in there, you know, no Yoshi. And then Hana Kimura does this, and it was huge, you know. It was just a question of a year or 2 years tops, you know. She just needed a little bit more time, you know. It's hard, you know, thinking about all this.
Yeah. I'm sorry to bring that up.
It's okay to talk to, you know, because I have to stop crying at some point.
It's amazing how when you go on social media, the wrestling fans, how much she was loved, and she wasn't a wrestler for that long, but she made an impression on so many people.
Well, she was really loved in wrestling because she started with 15 years old, mm-hmm. and she was already a star of stardom, you know, and cross international star. At 22, you know, because she was a baby, still on 22. You know, she was a blasting star. You know, she was light.
She was amazing.
She's amazing.
Yeah. All right. So you're back in Spain now. The pandemic has hit. What has life been like for you during the pandemic?
Video games. You know, the first when everything locked down, you know, I was already in a gym. You know, after coming back from Japan, you know, I was scheduled to go with my friends of Portugal. And this Red Eagle, you know, hired me to, you know, book me to have a match in Portugal, in Lisboa. Mm-hmm. And I was super excited. I was getting conditioned. I was getting everything I could to be able to, you know, to beat the shit out of Claudia. And then, you know, I was super ready. You know, it was the 21 of March, you know, and this pandemic started going up, more cases, more contagious, more people like going down. I was like, holy shit. And, you know, but at least, okay, I can go. I can't go to Japan or the USA, but I know for sure I can go next to my country. So I can go to Portugal, I can do my thing. So it was the day, you know, and in the airport say, no, we have canceled all the flights. And I was like, no. and then tried to go to Germany. Also, they closed the border. And I was like, okay, what the freak I do now? And I was like, all focused on me learning Japanese. And playing some video games and with my dog because I didn't have another option. It was like frustrating and fun.
So you haven't had like any other work at all? Do you have a day job at all, or do you kind of everything's just locked down?
No, I had to quit to go to Japan. So because I wanted to, you know, after Japan, I wanted to go full on wrestling, so mm-hmm. I had to quit. So joke on me, you know, when I was starting to go into the scene and being like, this girl has come back to Japan. We have many bookings for her. Mm-hmm. You know, the pandemic blew it up. So, nope.
And it's kind of still on hold now. You're not sure when or stuff's going to get back to normal or somewhat normal, you know?
Exactly. You know, for example, I have seen a couple of friends of here in Spain, okay, going to the WXW Academy to go to the academy to teach and to the academy to have these trainings. But I wonder how because in Spain everything is locked down. You know, it's like you can go here because you're going to spend 10 days or 2 weeks in quarantine. So how the freak you do that? You know, it's like risking your own life. So it's like it's not a risk I'm going to take, you know. Yeah. You know, if it's go to Japan or to the USA, I'm full on it. You know, I can spend 2 weeks in a four room and only a bed and a sink. Mm-hmm. But for big countries, no, to the country next to mine. So it's like, no, thank you.
So let's talk about your future wrestling goals. Where you talk about America, you talk about going back to Japan. Where's your dream destinations for wrestling?
My dream destinations is going back to Japan. You know, get this whole Joshi Pro Wrestling style. You know, the Japanese style, because that's a dream. You know, if they want to teach me this, I'm gonna take it for like all in, and then going to the USA. But if it's not the North America, I'm going to go to Mexico. Because I want to go to meet these whole people like were in my childhood, and also I was talking, but I had a little bit of close words with Esa Rios, and he was like, okay, I can teach you things, and I was like, vale mano, porque te quiero dar todo. It was like this, you know. I have many opportunities to learn from people, and if I can go, I will go. You know, I'm not going to sit here waiting for opportunities when I can go with my last breath for it. You know,
you got to come to. I'm in San Diego. Go to Tijuana and watch some luchas in Tijuana.
Mira, en Tijuana pienso ir, and also being friends with Thunder Rosa, and she can teach me some things like. To live, you know, I am friends with Holiday, and if I can catch her wave of move or you know going with her and so many venues and meet people, I know for sure I can get an opportunity to go to wrestler in some places.
Absolutely, Faith. Where can we find you on social media?
With my name, you can find me in every social media with Faith Hayden.
All right, and I'll put those on the show notes as well.
Yes, so please.
We've been talking for 90 minutes, which I very, very much appreciate you spending the time with me. And you weren't very shy talking to me, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, because, you know, as I told you before, you know, when I find a little bit connection with somebody, it's like a really interesting conversation. But because if not, it was like a super shy, like, yes, no, thank you, bye.
That would have been pretty boring.
Yes, I guess.
All right, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much to you. You know, I really appreciate this opportunity, this your time, you know, 90 minutes. Holy fools. Thank you so much, buddy.